Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw, Sunday night, February 4th. Richie, I feel like the month of January takes absolutely forever, but we finally made it out of there, and we are into February. How's your weekend been?
Good. It's been nice and relaxing. Went down to Vero Beach, got to see the mom yesterday, and just been relaxing today, watching golf. I don't know if you saw what was going on in Pebble Beach, but my goodness, it was nasty out there, 40-mile-an-hour winds, and they had to cancel the play.
I had a buddy that bet on it and was curious as to what would end up happening with his bet. So that's the only thing I knew. I saw how nasty it was, but I didn't watch any of it or check any of it out. You're on mute. It took you out there for a second. I'll give some love to Guthrie's, and then we'll see if we can get that tightened back up. But
oh, they're
double fry. You're back. Double fries. Double Fries No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. You can visit both their locations, 1818 West Tennessee and 2550 North Monroe. Actually, third location, 2870 Appalachian Parkway. Make sure that you guys get over there to Guthrie's and get your Gut Box Double Fries No Slaw. Richie, your mic back and good going?
I think so. I mean, this thing keeps coming out, but we're going to make it through the show, all right?
So the least we can do. So, all right, let's roll a little bit today. You know, it feels like there's a lot going on with FSU. At the same time, it feels like there's not as much, right? Like it's just different when it's not in season. And we didn't add in a Kirk Herbstreit segment today, which maybe we could have done that,
we'll talk about that toward the end.
But a bunch of news for Florida State, just kind of news and notes here and there. Richie put an outline together. Let's start with this. I know that we primarily do football, but let's start with something a little bit more important instead of saving this for an end of the show shout out. Mike Martin passes away on Thursday. Obviously, legendary baseball coach, Florida State coach for 40 years. Made the playoffs 40 straight years, won 40 games 40 straight. Like, just a phenomenal coach. We obviously have had meet on several times on the show, and man, that was tough, man. He knew he wasn't doing super well, but still just hard. You know, him and Bobby both passing just a few years apart. They'll have a memorial service for him at Dick Houser on Saturday, and you know, rest in peace to a legend, somebody who all time winningest coach in college baseball, which I don't know that anybody will ever, you know, replicate that. I just don't know that coaches, you know, will ever stick around the same way in certain sports like they did back in the day. And so, just one of the greatest to ever do it. Rest in peace, Mike Martin, 11. I got to meet him a couple of times up at baseball games, and, I mean, he was funny. You know, it was when his son was coaching, and he was, you know, I told him to do this, I told him to do that, like this guy's swing or that guy's swing. And so anyway, he was still pretty sharp and with it. So sad news for sure, but you know, obviously it brings back a lot of the good memories, and it's been cool to read some of the stories that people have had here and there about him.
Yeah, you know, we throw the term legend around a lot. Mike Martin really truly was a legend, and you know, very sad in prayers with his wife, his son, you know, all of his loved ones and families. But man, what an outstanding person and ambassador to the university. You know, 40 straight years making the postseason, that'll never be done again by a single coach at one institution. And like you mentioned, TJ, his win total will never be touched. It's not going to happen. It truly is one of those unbreakable records. But
your mic went out again, man. I don't know what it's doing. No, it's brutal. You might have to pull it and go back to it.
Yeah, it just shows what, you know, his former players and everything, what they had to say about him. Just truly phenomenal. An amazing man, a leader of men, and, you know, he will be missed. But, you know, how cool is it that, you know, many of us got to see him coach on the field named after himself for a long period of time. Shout out to the whole Martin family, you know, prayers to all of you guys. But, you know, he gave Florida State a lot, and we should definitely appreciate what he did for them.
Yeah, so there's a, you know, again, prayers up for the family. It certainly sucks. I saw a funny story. Richie, I'll tell you this. Your head is still not very good. I don't know if you just want to use the AirPods or something different tonight, but it's still struggling a little bit. I saw a funny story that maybe Jim Henry or somebody shared of Coach Martin going into like a Sunday school class or some kind of young adults class and saying, well, I, you know, I gave up beer because I really wanted to be a lot better example for my athletes and this, that, and the other, and said, so when I get to heaven, I'm hoping that they have beer up there because I sure would like to have one or something, you know, just kind of a, you know, old guy sense of humor, but I enjoy it. So anyway, rest in peace to Coach Martin, 11. It'd be cool if they could do something special. Hopefully they'll wear some kind of patches or something like they did when Bobby passed. I'm sure at least the baseball team will. It'd be cool if really all of FSU did that. I remember the year Bobby passed, everyone did it, you know, and that was really cool. You know, I don't, you know, it's obviously different, you know, with football and everything else, but you know, I think it was really special when the whole sports department, you know, did that. It'd be cool if we could replicate that again. I don't know how. Obviously, that happened at a time of the year before sports had started, and that was a lot easier to do. You've obviously got sports going on right now at FSU, from, you know, tennis and other things that are competing. But we'll see if that could be something that is done. Florida State really scratchy, really bad. Maybe reset or change the settings. And you'll be good. So I'll start our first thing, and then Richie will jump in. Florida State amends their lawsuit against the ACC. We'll talk a little recruiting today. We'll talk some staff changes, some additions. We'll go around the horn a little bit, talk a big commit that Florida State got yesterday. And then also some Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl talk as well. Florida State amended their lawsuit, though, against the ACC. We had Doug Rohan on to talk about this a little bit, but Richie, I want to kind of get your thoughts and hear you out on it. To me, the biggest takeaway was how hard they went at the Swofford family and basically said, like, hey, this is nepotism, this is collusion, whatever you want to call it. They didn't use any of those words. But this is what it is, and we're going in on you. So, Florida, man, everybody that I talk to, you know, and we're all biased, and we all wear Garnet gold-colored glasses, right? And we all want what's best for Florida State, so it's hard to know how objective we're truly being. But man, everybody you talk to, everybody you hear from, even when you're watching like Josh Pate and J.D. Pickell and national guys, Jake Crane, and them talk about Florida State and the ACC, I mean, they're all basically saying, like, yeah, this is happening one way or the other. We get, Richie, every time I do a conference realignment video or an ACC video or anything, there are always comments that are like, y'all aren't going anywhere, nothing's changing, nothing's happening, and I'm like, you just wait. You just like you. I'm saving all of these YouTube comments. I used to troll on Twitter, but now I'm just saving all the YouTube comments. Like, we are certainly going. So anyway, thoughts on the Florida State amendment to their complaint toward the ACC?
Yeah, like you said, just calling out names at this point. You know, at first when it was just, you know, the ACC did this, the ACC did that. But now to say, you know, John Swofford and Chad Swofford and just throwing out names. I think most of us knew we were already at the point of no return, but this made it 1,000% the point of no return. Florida State is leaving the ACC one way or the other. It's just how far does the ACC want to go out? And now it comes to the point, in my opinion, where we're looking at both the ACC and Florida State have more, you know, rounds in the chamber, so to speak. How deep are we going to get? Because Florida State, you know, the old saying, you know, we know where the bodies are buried. That's kind of where we're at right now, where Florida State knows exactly where it is. But the ACC probably knows some things about Florida State that Florida State might not want out there either. It's going to get ugly. It's going to be a very, very ugly divorce. I hate if anyone's had to go through that before, but that's what we're coming into. You know, it's like when you watch Liar Liar, the divorce trial scene. I feel like that's what we're heading towards. It's going to settle, I believe. The fact that North Carolina is now openly saying, you know, hey, this financially isn't working, that's got to scare the heck out of the ACC, because North Carolina is the ACC. Like, Florida State, I think, has more value when it comes to football. But as far as a brand, I think North Carolina is probably the most attractive brand in the entire country, not in the Big Two. And now that they're chirping out there a little bit, man, and it's, like I said, it's going to get ugly. And I'm here for it. This is what we signed up for. This is what we all wanted. And, you know, we'll take all the, you know, all the hate from the media, from the everyone else. Sure would be nice if someone else would join us, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. North Carolina kind of kicked the tires a little bit. But, yeah, man, that amendment, especially mentioning the Swofford and Raycom and, you know, Jefferson Pilot, if you grew up in the 90s like I did, where we're watching Florida State and Virginia.
At noon or whatever here in Tampa.
Yeah, or whatever it was. But that this is where we're at. And I don't know, TJ, we're here for it. And I think, you know, these cases, this could take years or it could be, you know, settled by the end of this year. Nobody really knows, but I don't think the ACC wants this thing going to trial because a lot will come out that they do not want. And I think that takes us to our next topic.
Yeah. Speaking of that, okay, so back up just a minute. You're talking about like some of those off channels. So I used to, you know, it'd be like Sunday afternoon. You know, we always play on Saturday now, but I feel like back in the day, back in like the mid 2000s, we'd play on Sunday a lot. And I feel like all the games were on Sunday afternoon, and they'd always be on those off-brand channels.
Yeah, like Sun Sports.
So I'd be watching like Al Thornton and those guys like playing hoops in like 2005, like middle. And I mean, I don't know, Sunday afternoon nap, right? Like after church, you go out and get a big lunch. I'd fall asleep during the game, I'd wake up, and it'd be some stupid movie on or Dawson's Creek or one of those. I'd be like, what was the score of the game? And you didn't just have like, when I was in the seventh, eighth grade, man, you didn't just get on the internet and be like, calling around, asking people, like, did we win? Most of the time it was no, but it was, those.
The Robinson days.
stupid soliloquy there. Like, it has nothing to do with anything, but it was my memory that was jogged when you brought that up. But, yeah, the ACC also files a request to keep ESPN agreements sealed. I think even there was an update there, and they want to keep the lawsuit in North Carolina. I think there was a loss or an update there that even the the North Carolina judge will probably side with them to keep those documents sealed. We'll see what kind of happens in the state of Florida and where this ends up getting pushed. But the ACC certainly wants any and every advantage that they can try to find in this. Keeping it in North Carolina would certainly behoove them. I don't know that it happens. I don't know that that's what ends up going their way. I mean, best of luck. Good job trying. You got to put your best foot forward for the ACC. But again, we're biased for sure. But everybody that I chat with seems to think that this ends up in Florida or in federal court elsewhere.
Yeah, and if it's in Florida or federal court, you're happy, right? That's a win. Even in North Carolina, you know, I know you've been having videos with Rohan Law. Shout out to him. But, you know, he found precedent in North Carolina state court that definitely favors Florida State. I'm not sure if you guys talked about that or not on this channel, but, you know, there's precedent that would favor Florida State, even if this does go to trial in North Carolina. So this is, you know, Florida State, there is zero chance that Florida State goes forward with these lawsuits if they did not think they had a very good chance of winning. You know, it's not just, you don't, you know, make a threat by going this far in with the lawsuit like this and going back to our last segment, naming Swofford and Chad and John and everything. It just doesn't happen. Florida State feels they have a very, very good case. I cannot wait for these ACC meetings coming up in a week or two over in Amelia Island that they have every spring. That's going to be fun. You know, if I didn't have a full-time job, I would definitely be driving up there just to walk around the lobby to see what people are saying. Because I think Florida State has more allies than people realize at those spring meetings. They just can't go public with it for obvious reasons, but it's fascinating to me. This whole thing is going to be fascinating. The ACC kickoff, TJ, we got to go to Charlotte this summer.
Yeah, I went in 2021, I believe, right? Jermaine Johnson's year.
Yeah, you and Mike. Was there.
And that was, it was cool. It was cool to go like for a one-time thing. And then past that, I never really... I don't know. They're just kind of like whatever, right? Like on a normal year, like it's the same, like coach speak, everything is on TV. Yeah. And so it's like, well, I could just see it on TV. The best part is like, you get to kind of go into some breakout sessions with, you know, some of the players that stuff doesn't get televised and stuff, but it all ends up in articles and, you know, like different outlets will upload videos of the whole thing anyway. So I don't know it, but you're right. This year is like the year, like it's only 2 days. We're taking 2 days in the summer. We're going to Charlotte. Absolutely doing that. So, the ACC stuff, you know, never gets old, never get tired of seeing it. Something that is getting old pretty quick. Good transition there. The Doak renovations have FSU fans feeling some type of way, you wrote here. Fans are upset about these renovations, Richie. All right, and so let me preface this by saying, if you are watching this or you listen to it later, and your family had seats in the same section for years and years and years, and your family's seats got moved during this process or to renew your seats, it's incredibly more expensive. And that's presents a challenge for your family, presents like a cost value thing for your family where you don't want to do it in that same section. I understand. I will say there are other options. Like, you can move elsewhere in the stadium and have an option. But if you're impacted by that because your seats are being moved or more expensive, then I think you have a gripe. The problem is most of these whiny people on the internet are not impacted by it. They sit at home. They didn't spend their money. They weren't going to games in 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021 when we sucked. And so Florida State put into motion things to increase revenue because y'all weren't going to games, or we weren't going to games, whatever. We'll just say the fan base wasn't going to games. And so don't complain about it now. Don't complain about them doing things that are going to increase the revenue. Again, if you're impacted, that's your one exception. You can complain all you want, but it's probably not even those folks that are doing the crux of the complaining on social media. If you had if you had tickets in the same section for 40 years, you ain't on X complaining about it. You know, so anyway, Richie, I'll shut up and let you go for a minute.
Yeah, I think that's the main point, right? If you're a mid-level, you know, Silver Chief, lower-end Golden Chief booster, and you've had seats, you know, on the shady side in the 30s, in the sections for years, and now you're being either pushed out entirely or just priced out. Yeah, you have a legitimate gripe, and I will not argue with you at all. But the people complaining are probably the ones who are not boosters. They go to one game every other year, and they just want something to complain about. Because the high-dollar boosters, they're not complaining. They're probably not happy about the price increase, but they're probably happy with what they're going to get in return for it. They understand that, you know, that value right there. But yeah, if you don't go to games and you're not a booster, you're probably not giving to the battle's ends. Guess what? When we host, you know, North Alabama, you'll still be able to get a ticket for less than $50 probably if you want to. It's not a big deal. There's no reason to get overly upset about this. And I do think it brings great value to the fans who are giving the most. And listen, Florida State's not stupid. The leadership we have with Michael Alford and President McCullough and everything that's going on, they're not going to make decisions that are going to piss off the key shareholders in Florida State football. The high-dollar boosters, the legacy Golden Chiefs, that's who we are trying to appease because they are the ones funding the program. They're not only funding football. They're funding basketball, baseball, women's softball, women's golf, everything. The same few 1% of donors are funding our entire athletic program. So they would not make these changes if they were not on board with this. So again, like TJ said, if you had the same seats for 40 years and you're either getting pushed out or priced out, that sucks. And I feel for you because I would be furious as well. But guess what? Those people probably aren't even mad. They understand if they've made that kind of investment and they said, you know what? That's fine. I'll still give my booster donation. I may not get season tickets, but I'll still come up for two or three games a year and gladly pay the school for tickets elsewhere throughout the stadium. So yeah, I just don't get the anger about the stadium renovation when it's going to make one of the best college football experiences in the country come 2025.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I get it, right? Like, I get all sides of it. I get the, you know, the argument of, oh, well, it's reducing capacity and this, that, and that. I get it. I get it, right? I'm the one that I wish there were 150,000 people that could fit into Doak. Like, I get it. I would love that. The truth of the matter is, though, that we're just not doing that. We're just not filling that stadium enough.
And the location doesn't allow that.
Yeah, it just doesn't, right? You're not filling it enough. And we've talked about this. We've whined and we've complained and we've begged people to become boosters. Richie, we have done full-on free advertising for the boosters for 2.5 years now. And the fact that Florida State has the largest alumni base in the ACC, and I believe they are sixth in donors. Let me say that again. The Florida State has the second I'm sorry, the largest, I keep messing it up, has the largest alumni base in the ACC, and they're sixth right now in active boosters. That's unacceptable. I don't even care if you are a booster and you do have seats on the home side. Just the fact that that is the fact about our fan base is ridiculous. Yeah. Florida State has, and then you look outside of alumni. Go look at how many Twitter followers, Facebook followers, Instagram followers Florida State has, and then compare it to the other teams in the conference. NC State, Clemson, Miami, North Carolina. Florida State dwarfs all of them. It's not even close. Florida State has more than Florida, if you just look at social media. And Florida has a larger alumni base. So you look at fans, you look at viewership, you look at alumni, and Florida State's number one, number one, number one everywhere. And we're sixth in booster donations. We're sixth in number of paying boosters. And so we've begged you for years to go and support the boosters. Every year I up my booster membership, not by much because I don't make a lot of money, but I do. I up it every single year. And we get on here and we beg and we ask people to go sign up. Boosters.fsu.edu. Go do it after the show. But if people refuse to do that, the Florida State's going to look to make revenue in other ways. They're going to say, okay, well, we've got a smaller booster section. We've got a smaller booster base because we need to be sixth, I guess, in the ACC because people won't get off their wallet and do it for $70 a year. We'll make revenue by the few that do support, the few that do sign up. They'll sign up and they'll sign up and pay for more expensive tickets. They'll sign up and pay for upgraded seats. Those seats aren't going to be empty. The Champions Club is always sold out, guys. Like it ain't. It might look bad. You may not like the way it looks on TV, but there ain't ever extra seats. And so,
and the people complaining are the ones sitting on their couch watching on TV.
And so, listen, the school has asked you for years and years and years to sign up and support, and people didn't. And again, I'm not talking to the 223 people watching this live right now. I know all of you guys are signed up and support, but it's the people that aren't tuned in right now that we're yelling at. So that's my biggest complaint with it is we, you know, the school is going, the university, the athletic department, they're going to do not only what makes sense financially, but they're going to do what makes sense long-term. This is the way that college athletics is going. Again, if we were in Orlando, if we were in Miami, you know, I trust that we would have people come to our games. You know, we could actually sell out a stadium in Miami. I think that that's the biggest thing is Richie talked about location, you know, Florida State and AD Alford has talked about the distance for the average fan to have to get to a game. It's about 4 hours. I mean, that's what it is for me. That's what it is for Richie. If you come from elsewhere, I mean, it makes it even tougher. So I don't know. I think you see that and you say, hey, we're going to make changes so that we can make revenue that we need to continue to be successful. And so, yeah, I don't have a huge problem with it. Richie, I don't even know. My seats are on the home side, but I don't even know if they're affected or not. Probably. Is everything on the home side? I haven't got my call yet.
I would think so. But and to your point, you know, location. So I have a lot of really good friends that went to UF. We go to Florida State every single year when they play in Gainesville because we can make a day trip out of it and we're not getting gouged by the hotels. You know, I looked up yesterday or the day before hotel prices for the Clemson game. Something like the Country and Suites was like $600 a night, two night minimum. So you're looking at over $1,400 just for hotel stay. I'm not going. Yeah, I'm going to Ireland. I'll pay the money for that. That's a special once in a lifetime thing. But yeah, it's just ridiculous. And you know, as much as we hate Clemson, I got to shout them out. They had the best booster campaign I can ever recall with Ipate. I pay 10 a year. And that was their whole thing. They said, listen, if everyone that comes to this game gives $10 a year to the boosters, we're going to be just fine. And they were ahead of us financially for the longest time. I think Florida State's finally caught up or surpassed them. But imagine if every FSU fan on Twitter and every single Florida State fan that went into Doak on a Saturday gave 10 bucks a year. That'd be huge, but people just don't want to give. But you're glad they're going to pay $22 for Netflix and another 20 bucks for HBO Max and all this nonsense. But yeah, the boosters and Battle's End, if you are watching the show, you are a diehard Florida State fan. You would not be watching otherwise. Give minimum 70 bucks a year to, that's $5 a month, or just under it, to the boosters. And give a one-time $20 donation to Battle's End or recurring payments if you can. that goes a very long way. The roster we had last year that should have landed us in the playoff does not happen without the battle's end. It just does not. And Florida State is likely going to be favored to win the ACC this year. That does not happen without the boosters in the battle's end. So even if it's just a little bit, it goes a long way if enough of us do it.
Richie, we had, which we'll have less on this video, but in January, we had 146.6 thousand people, unique viewers. That's not total views. 146.6 thousand people view the YouTube channel in so far in 2024. So that counts January and then the first 3 days here. So just under 150,000 people. Again, we don't have a tenth of that that are boosters. I think our numbers are around 13,000 right now. So if it was a tenth, yeah, we'd be at 14,000. So again, stop complaining about how the size of the stadium and get off your wallet. So that's again, that's not to anybody in here live. I know you guys all contribute. So that's just for other people that aren't watching. All right, let's roll before we get on that tangent even longer. Let's give Garden Gold some love. GardenGold.com, use code NOSLAW, N-O-S-L-A-W, for 15% off. I think, if you pick up in store, I think I'm going up there this weekend. If you pick up in store, you get your order, you get your shipping, no shipping cost, right? I don't know why I said it backwards, but no shipping cost if you pick up in store. And then if you order $75 or more, which is not hard to do with like Nike and Columbia and different stuff, I think it's free shipping then anyway. So 15% off, NOSLAW, N-O-S-L-A-W. Some showing out going on, Richie, at the Senior Bowl, as well as the Shrine Bowl. We had some really good play by some of the cornerbacks. Renardo Green was going off. Nobody made themselves more money probably than Braden Fisk. I saw Jarin Jones, you know, like all of the guys, like playing really well. Johnny Wilson, Jaheim Bell did some really special things as well. But Braden Fisk absolutely went nuts this week. And MVP of the game yesterday, he ended up switching teams. Do you see that? Like he was the first player
the morning
ever
of
traded.
Yeah.
And then still won the MVP. Braden Fisk. I love him. And I was sitting there in Charlotte, and I was like, on that last drive, I looked over at our buddy Dustin and I said, I want two sacks on this last drive. And Braden got one and Jared got the other. And so he was fun to root for, man. Really all year, but like those last couple of weeks, he just came alive against Florida and Louisville. And so excited for him. I'd love if he ended up on the Bucks somehow, but we'll see what ends up happening. They're like a second round thing. Let's go, Bucks. If he slides to the third, that'd be even better. But Braden Fisk went off. Some other guys had really nice weeks as well. Johnny was sound like catching everything one day that he was out there. He left the field at one point. I don't know if that was with an injury or just a tweak or what, but you know, he left the field at one point. But what are your thoughts on the guys moving on?
Yeah, and I don't think Braden Fisk has a bigger fan of anyone other than Cam Davis's mom. Like she's always tweeting about him. I love it. You talk about country strength, right? Like he may not bench press more than anybody, but he's definitely going to be stronger than you when it comes to putting hands on each other. And that's exactly what he showed. Just amazing week for Fisk. I think I'm no draft expert. I don't know what round he'll go in, but whatever team gets him is going to get a steal just because he spent his first few years at Western Michigan, just 1 year at Florida State. Johnny, Jaheim Bell, I thought it was – I got a lot of solace, TJ, out of watching Jaheim, Johnny, Braden all make plays against Georgia players because and nobody loved that more than Danny Cannell if you follow his timeline because he was letting everybody know – you know, hey, this guy dominated this guy in this rep. By the way, did not play in the Orange Bowl. It was fun to watch. Jerry and, Renardo Green, I think, had a good week at his, senior game, the practice. It was just cool to see. And the fact that Florida State might have, upwards of 10-plus guys drafted compared to where this roster was a few years ago just shows what Mike has done. And it will be a nice mix of recruits and transfer portals. And I don't care if it was all transfer or all recruits. They're coming out, and when their name is called, it will say Braden Fisk, Florida State. And that's where we're at again, and I think that's what we're looking at moving forward. But just a great week. But, yeah, man, Fisk just absolutely dominated. And I love that he was voted the MVP by the team he practiced with all week. It was that offensive line who voted him MVP and said, no, we could not block that guy.
Yeah.
He gets it. And then he switches the next day. And then the announcer, you know, I think Caleb Williams got MVP of the game, but the announcer says, no, Braden Fisk was the MVP of that game because he just dominated that much. Really cool to see.
Yeah. He was awesome. Yeah. I mean, looking at the draft, I'm planning on doing a little bit. I feel like the interest in the draft stuff is a little lower, right? Like most people are kind of like, what's happening with the guys that are here. I think that some people really love the draft, but I'll personally tell you, I don't care as much. Like I want these guys to go on and play well and do well, but if they go to my team, you know, then I want a little more, but I'm not following like every draft, but also I'm not as big in the NFL. So maybe that's why. I mean, obviously Jared Verse is getting drafted. Keon Coleman is getting drafted. Johnny Wilson, Trey Benson, Braden Fisk all get drafted. I would think that Jaheim Bell, Jarian Jones, and Renardo Green all get drafted. That's eight guys, right?
I think Jordan gets drafted.
I think Jordan gets drafted. Yeah. So
I saw him mocked. I saw him mocked to the Steelers in the third. He won't be a third round draft pick, but that was a like credible mock draft.
Yeah, I've seen thirds as well. Yeah, I saw third to the Browns. So we'll see. And then I think Deloach and Bethune could get drafted as well in like late round. I think it'll be late round. I don't think they're super early, but I think sixth, seventh round guys. And so yeah, you're talking between 9 and 11 guys getting drafted. I think that's pretty strong. You know, like I think that's you can't really hate on that, right? Like and I'll tell you, I mean Keon was. Jared Verse, yeah, I think he had a couple years to go, but like there weren't many of those guys that we just mentioned that were draft picks when they got here, right? And no. So Trey Benson had what 8 yards you know to his name at that point. Johnny Wilson,
nobody wanted Johnny out of Arizona State.
I think the development there has been pretty good.
What's Herm Edwards doing? Because he had Johnny Wilson and Ricky Pearsall.
And Jaden Daniels on the same team. Jaden Daniels, like the Heisman, bro. Not even just those two wide receivers, right? Like Jaden freaking Daniels. All right, let's talk a little recruiting. Oh, actually, let's do this. Rick Stockstill hired as the director of scouting for offensive recruiting. I think also have a little bit of an impact on the passing game as well. Former Florida State quarterback and man, one of our absolute favorites, Middle Tennessee State's former head coach. He was the head coach when they went down to Miami and beat the tar out of Miami's last head coach. That was Miami's current head coach. It was Mario Cristobal who lost
Mario.
To Middle Tennessee State. Wanted to make sure we pointed that out. Something that had never been done before. Mario just breaking records. I saw Richie the other day. Mario is the first coach in Miami Hurricanes history to start out with back-to-back losing season of the ACC. Larry Coker didn't do that. Randy Shannon did not do that. Manny Diaz did not do that. Al Golden did not do that. And then obviously Mark Richt did not do that. He was good down there. So
I don't think any of them ever had a losing season in the ACC period, did they?
Yeah, there were a couple. Yeah, like Randy did. Yeah, for sure. But okay. Nobody started out with like two back to back.
That's crazy.
Like that. So,
but hey, they're recruiting well.
Breaking records, Mario. Yeah, we got a super chat about that. We'll get to it in just a minute. Rick had a great quote after winning that game. He said, two goal line stands. We stopped them down there. They ran for like 194 yards against Texas A&M. That was the number of whatever team in the country, whatever they are. They ran for 68 against us. He said they averaged 1.6 yards a carry. He said they gave us 1.5 million, but they got 1.6 yards a carry after the win. So he was also asked about the win and said, look, you know where I come from. You know, a lot of people from where I was from are happy, but you know, this is all about Middle Tennessee State and hyped up his team after the win. Didn't make
it. As he should.
Yeah. You know, hey, this is about Florida State winning. But anyway, now on Florida State staff, Richie, the biggest thing to me here is, now that Saban's gone, do we just take all the old coaches and throw them on staff as analysts and build up the rest of the recruiting staff that way?
Yeah, it was the Saban rehab program. Now it's the Mike Norvell rehab program, right? We already took 5 of their players. Now we're just going to take coaches and just build them back up. No, super excited about this. And what you're getting him for, you know, you're paying a premium. It's worth noting. You are paying a premium for this guy, but it's very well worth it. you know, he's not going to be scouting Georgia Tech, right? He's scouting week 5, 6, 7, 8 and beyond. So Norvell and, you know, Coach Atkins can focus on the first month of the season and already have a, you know, heads up, so to speak, on the rest of the season. Really good hire. You know, this is a guy that could have got a head coaching job elsewhere, probably wanted to take a less demanding job. We'll probably only have him for a year or two, and then he'll get back into on-field coaching. But, man, he's a steal for what you got him for. And I love the hire. And, you know, the fact that, you know, he beat the crap out of Miami and wasn't afraid to say it in the post-game press conference afterwards. And, you know, more power to him. Come on home, man.
Yeah, no, really big pickup there. All right, we got a super chat from Kwame. Kwame wanted to come in here and troll a little bit, so we can we can certainly allow that. I'm grabbing an answer to something right now that I want to look at.
I like Kwame though. I'll just say that he's a good dude.
For all the bad Miami fans out there, he definitely is the least bad of them. So maybe that's the easiest or most fair way to say it for him. All right, so Kwame said, let me pull that up real quick, and then we'll move on. This will take us into our recruiting segment. That's why I waited a second, Kwame, on it. Oh, dang, he went with three. All right, we're just doing the first one, Kwame. You can keep just hit my Venmo the next time. All right, here we go. Kwame wants to know about recruiting. He said, boys went 13-1 and can't even break, that's not how you spell break, into the top 10 in recruiting. How? That's so odd to me. So Kwame's question as a Miami fan is how Miami is recruiting better, and is that concerning for Florida State fans right now? Are you worried about that? So I'll say this. Last year, when, you know, and Kwame, I assume, is referencing the 247 talent composite or the team composite rankings, because 247, kind of the gold standard in the industry, at least at this point. I like On3's industry rankings better because they devalue Rivals and ESPN. But Kwame referencing the 247 rankings. First of all, Kwame, I congratulate you on the early lead in the 21st annual offseason championship rankings. Second, Miami did out-recruit Florida State. There's no doubt about it this offseason. The big problem with the logic there is that when you look at the 247 team composite, the talent team composite, Miami has been 12th, 12th, and 13th the last 3 years. And Florida State has been 20th, 17th, and 20th the last 3 years. In those 3 years that Miami has out-recruited and had more talent, Florida State is 3-0. And here's what I'll say. I think I trust my coach with about the 10th ranked recruiting class more than I trust Miami at about 4 or 5. I just do. When you also factor in the portal and you also factor in that level of recruiting, I trust it certainly balances things to be a little bit closer. And so, no, I'm not worried about that. Do I think that we should have recruited better? Absolutely. Am I worried about it against Miami? Not at all. Now, I don't think we're going to catch like the real big dogs like Georgia and other people until we start recruiting better. But I will not be worried about Miami because Florida State has now beat them 3 years in a row with less talent. So, Richie, thoughts?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, when it comes to recruiting, like, top 3-4 classes, you know, that's a huge difference maker. When you get to like 5, 6 through, you know, 18, that's where coaching comes into play. And Mike Norvell has proven to be one of the top coaches in the country. There's a reason Alabama made a very serious run at Mike Norvell. You know, nobody on Alabama's roster or anybody that Alabama was recruiting knew who the hell Kalen DeBoer was, you know, a month ago or 2 months ago. Right? They just found out who he was because he was coaching the national championship game. And he's a perfect example of coaching matters. It'll be interesting because we saw what Alabama's recruiting did the second DeBoer was hired. Like, people were jumping off that ship in a hurry. No high school kids said, I want to play for Alabama. They said, I want to play for Nick Saban. And now they're saying, okay, well, where else can I go now where I can get to where I want to go to? So, you know, Mario Cristobal, he's really, you know, I think, and this is not a troll, this is me being 100% serious. If Miami fans look in the mirror, they say, I hope he's our Ron Zook, where he's going to load this roster up, and then we're going to make a serious hire unlike Mario, make a serious hire who can come over, take over all this talent, retain it, and go win a national championship. Because that's what Urban Meyer did for Florida after Ron Zook was fired, because Ron Zook was an amazing recruiter. That's the reason he got another head coaching job at Illinois, despite showing he was a terrible coach. That's what Mario is. He's a terrible coach, but an amazing recruiter. He's always going to out-recruit Florida State, and I'm fine with that personally, because I know my coach on game days is going to out-coach Mario and 98% of the other coaches in the country. So I'm happy where we're at, and I would love having Mike Norvell, and I would 0% chance trade him for a Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, the big worry I'd have about that, Richie, if I was a Miami fan, is the reason that Urban was able to win with Ron's talent is because recruiting back then actually was so much more than it is today.
There's no portal, yeah.
And there was, yeah, NIL wasn't around, right? Like, you were still paying players under the table and stuff, like the top guys. But, like, man, if Mario was to leave, there will be an exodus out of Miami that will look like the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea, bro. Like, it will be insane, the number of players that leave there. Because, and the other thing is, man, somebody posted this the other day, who's more on the hot seat, Napier or Cristobal, or had some other coaches in there. And I mean, the answer is
Napier, 100%.
But yeah. I don't think Mario's on the hot seat. I think Mario's leash
they can't afford to get rid of him.
Incredibly long.
Yeah.
If Mario Cristobal, like the guy, like if he doesn't work out there, they're done. Like, they will never find a coach.
They've been
to
done,
work.
TJ. They've been done.
I mean, I agree with that, but I'm just telling you, if they can't get it to work with him, with top five class after top five class after top five class, it will never work with anyone. I also looked at the 2024 recruiting rankings just for the heck of it, and I noticed that there's something that definitely sticks out with Miami's class, compared to everyone else's in the top 15. Do you know that Miami is the only class in the top 15 that has double-digit three-stars? Georgia has 4, Bama has 6, Oregon with 5, Ohio State and Texas both have 3, LSU 9, Auburn 6, Oklahoma 9, Notre Dame 7, Clemson 9, Florida State 7, Tennessee 8, Penn State 9, Florida 6. That's your top 15. Miami, not even close to any of those numbers, 13 3-stars. They have more 3-stars than any other team, and they're the only one in the top 15 with double digits. You got to go down to Nebraska at 18 and Missouri at 19 to find another in the top 20. So I know that Mario gets a lot of love for the recruiting. They stuffed that class with more 3-star prospects than anyone else in the top 15, and it wasn't even close. It's the 247 rankings that you can go look up on their website. Again, only team in the top 15 with double digit. And it ain't like they got 10 and a bunch of other people got 9. They got 13 3-stars. They actually just had they actually have one guy that's unranked, but anyway, I'll move on from that. Yeah. So all that to say, I'm not really worried about Mario. So I got your text. I'll roll into Mari Williams a little bit and see if you can get that rolling. Then we'll go around the horn and get out of here. But Florida State did pick up on Mari Williams yesterday, 4-star edge prospect, being recruited by just about everybody. He had recently just reclassified at the very end of 2023, and he actually signed with the Noles during the early signing period, but waited until now to announce it. I think he'll be on campus, obviously, like coming through the summer, just being so young, which makes sense. A kid that's really, really good, got a lot of talent, probably a couple of years away from making an impact. I don't know that he necessarily comes in and makes an impact this year. I'd be surprised if he saw the field much at all, but a big pickup for the Noles. We've talked a lot about recruiting the defensive end, the defensive tackle, the linebacker positions, and saying that that needs to improve. Picking up a top 200 kid at that position, really talented kid that Florida, Miami, Georgia, and others were all recruiting. It was still early in his recruitment process, just based on when he reclassified. I wouldn't even say that he necessarily had a leader outside of Florida State. But a big pickup, and you've got to start to do that more. You've got to start to bring in more high school talent. You got to start to bring in and stack that talent on the roster so that you can get it up to a level that you can really go out and compete for championships. So a big pickup, probably the last pickup of the 2024 class, Amari Williams, has already signed with the Noles. So, you know, that one's good to go. Richie?
Yeah, I love it. Huge pickup. To your point, you know, defensive line and linebacker have been really the only positions, maybe offensive tackle, where, you know, we've kind of lacked in recruiting it. And by lacked, I mean compared to the big dogs, the Georgias, the Bamas, the Ohio States, the Michigans of the world. And this is just a very nice way to, fill out your 2024 class. You know, Mark Williams is a phenomenal player. He reclassified. A lot of Florida State fans are upset that he didn't go public when he was here in December. Sounds like he did, or he didn't go public, but it sounds like he, you know, basically closed off his recruitment. And he's a guy, you know, we probably won't hear much from him for, you know, 2 years or so, which is fine. But now this is what drives me crazy. If I'm a head coach in the year 2024, you got to retain the guy. Right? You got to find a way. He's not going to play much this year. He'll get garbage time, cleanup duty. Maybe he's a sophomore. He can get out there and start earning some snaps. And hopefully by the time he's a junior, he's an All-American. But that's the crazy world of college football we're in now. That fact that just because he's going to be on campus, man, you still have to recruit him just as hard as you're recruiting that 2027 kid that's from wherever. It's just wild to me. I don't blame Halfley for leaving Boston College to take an NFL defensive coordinator job. That's just where we're at right now. But yeah, he was a huge pickup and very excited to see what he can be in Garnet and Gold. You know, sitting behind guys like Marvin Jones and Pat Payton, that's a really good get.
Yeah, big pickup for the Noles for sure. Again, finishes out the 2024 class. There's a ton of recruiting going on, but we're running out of time tonight. So yeah. We'll do more recruiting updates. Everything's so early right now. People are, oh, this, the guy, that guy. Man, it is February. We've just gotten through some junior days. Let's get into this, I know this is the off season and you guys hate it, but I'm not going to report on every single visit that happens when all these kids are visiting every single college during the weekends between January and February, and everybody has a good visitor list and nobody's doing anything right now. So, all right, quick around the horn. Softball had a massive turnout for their fan day yesterday. Good stuff there. Florida State had a solid January, Rich even says, but wasted it by losing to a really bad Louisville team yesterday. Brutal there. I saw that Florida State's women's hoops team beat Miami today. Florida State is now 6-0 against Miami this calendar this school year. Florida State football won, soccer won, volleyball won twice, men's and women's basketball won, so six straight wins against Miami, or six this year. There were actually more if you go back to last year, the end of last year in some sports, but just call it six this year. I wish they had a softball team because we would probably win that one too. So so shout out to them. And I saw women's golf won their tournament as well. So Richie, early Super Bowl thoughts and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, we can save that for next week, but I'm happy. You know, last week I gave my picks and hit my parlay, so I was very happy with that. And now I'm going to spend all week at work just looking at prop bets and seeing what I want to do. What's my budget for betting on the Super Bowl Sunday? Taylor Swift stuff doesn't bother me, honestly. Like, couldn't care less. Let her be there. Let her have fun. But yeah, it's probably the best game. I wanted the Lions to get in, but if we're being honest, the Chiefs and Niners is the best game for the Super Bowl. I do think they have the two best teams until proven otherwise, and I'm excited. I think it's going to be a phenomenal game. We'll touch more. We'll talk offline, but maybe go early next week in the morning on Super Bowl Sunday, and I'll give you guys you can get rich if you take my bets. But yeah, man, I'm excited. It's the last football game until August, so I'm not. All these people are like, oh, I'm not going to watch it because, you know, the Lions aren't in it, or because Taylor Swift might be there. No, man, it's the last football game for the next 8 months, 7 months. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to bet on it. I'm going to love it.
Yeah, no, I actually love all the Taylor Swift stuff. So I'll even cheer for the Chiefs.
I do too.
Yeah, to piss you guys off. So yeah, I'm excited for all the Super Bowl stuff. Yeah,
sure. Usher.
I've hit on some big bets too these last couple of weeks, so I'll probably lose it all in the Super Bowl, but YOLO. all right, any shout outs, Richie? We'll get out of here.
Shout out Coach Ham. Love you. Time to retire. The basketball team just Frustrating. Nothing that much else, you know, again, I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl. It's a fun week. It's a fun game. I'm probably going to buy some wings, fry them. What's on your menu, TJ? Because we won't have time to talk about it next week because we're going to talk about the game a little bit. But what's your Super Bowl?
Plenty of time to talk about it. To be honest with you, I don't know.
Yeah.
We used to throw throw a party every year for it. And I just asked Karen today if she wanted to throw a party for it or not. It's kind of late to be inviting people to that, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. We haven't done it for a couple of years.
You can pull it off.
We're so little, yeah. But we might just do a party. I don't know. It's usually like the traditional stuff, like wings, buffalo chicken dip. I do a really good sausage dip, like with Fritos and stuff. So, usually stuff like that. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I do wings. I'll do burgers. I'll do sliders. Wings are my big thing. And my wife doesn't even like wings. So she's more into dips. So like, we cheat. Like we'll go to Publix and get the spinach and artichoke dip and like put that in the oven for a few minutes. And it's actually pretty phenomenal. But yeah, it's just going to be the two of us watching the game. Like we're not going all out or anything like that. But it'll be fun. And, you know, and the good thing about the Super Bowl that they get right, that college football doesn't, it kicks off at a reasonable time to where I'm not going to be up till midnight watching the game. So shout out to the NFL for that.
I'm with it. I don't know that I have any shout outs this week. So I don't know. Shout out 11. We did it at the beginning of the show, but rest in peace, GOAT. All right, that's all I got. If you're watching this and you enjoyed it, hit the subscribe button. I saw somebody ask about the Auburn linebacker. Yeah, a long way to go, but I think the Noles I think they're in a good spot. And yeah, I saw the comment about him not signing according to 247. Yeah, I don't think that's updated on their rankings, but I'm just telling you he's signed. So I don't know what else to tell you. So he has, you know, like it is what it is, bro. I haven't seen the paperwork, but this is what I'm told. So. All right, I appreciate you guys for tuning in, hanging out. Got down a few minutes early today. I'm going to go watch Taylor Swift on the Grammys and upset some more of you. So we'll talk to you soon.
The Grammys.
Go Noles.
Let's go.